So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This book is actually called Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyah. Al-Shama'il Muhammadiyah. Shama'il is the plural of Shamal, which means characteristic or trait. And Muhammadiyah means applying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning this book is a collection of hadith which will describe the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the traits or characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it was compiled, this book was compiled, or this collection of hadith actually, was compiled by Imam Tirmidhi. And you know Imam Tirmidhi is one of the famous six compilers of hadith. There are countless compilers of hadith, but six of them are the most famous. Imam Tirmidhi falls among those. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Ibn Majah, Imam Muslim, etc. Imam Tirmidhi is one of those famous six. Imam Tirmidhi's name is actually Abu Isa Muhammad ibn Saura al-Tirmidhi. That's his full name. Abu Isa is his kunya. Alright? It's sort of his nickname. Now what's interesting about this particular name is that Abu Isa, the scholars have a debate as to this particular name, Abu Isa. And the debate is that if you look in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, there is a collection of hadith by Ibn Abi Shayba which brings a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said to a person to not keep the kunya of Abu Isa because Isa alayhi salam did not have a father. So Abu Isa is not an appropriate kunya. So the discussion among the ulama is, well, how could such a great scholar of hadith act so openly against this hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ is saying, don't keep this particular name? And the jawab actually comes from a hadith which is present in Abu Dawud, the Sunan of Abi Dawud. And in a hadith we find that Umar radiallahu anhu actually once asked Mughira ibn Shu'ba why he had kept the name Abu Musa as a kunya, and this particular companion replied to Umar that the Prophet ﷺ had actually given it to him. So that's the answer to this particular question. Meaning the question that comes in your mind is, well, why is Imam Tirmidhi, such a great scholar of hadith, take a kunya which was against the hadith in the collection of Ibn Abi Shayba? And the answer is that there's actually another hadith in Imam Abu Dawud's book which Umar radiallahu anhu scolded a person for keeping, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, for keeping the kunya of Abu Isa, and he replied that the Prophet ﷺ had actually given him that name, so therefore it's permissible. Now the full name of Imam Tirmidhi, his actually correct name is Muhammad ibn Saura al-Tirmidhi. Al-Tirmidhi is a nasab. It's a relational name. It gives you an idea of where he actually came from, and Imam has become famous, Imam Tirmidhi, by the place where he was actually born. Imam Tirmidhi was actually born in a suburb of Tirmidh called Bugh. Bugh was the name of the suburb. And he was born in 209. This suburb is actually near Khorasan. And he was born in the year 209, and he actually expired in the year 279 after Hijrah. And he expired on the 13th of Rajab at the age of 70. So Tirmidh is the name of the suburb, and Tirmidhi means the person who's from that particular suburb, and that's his the famous name that he is often referred to as. Now if you look at the very first line of the book, قال الحافظ أبو إيسى محمد بن عيسى بن ثورة التِرمذي. قال الحافظ. The author says, قال الحافظ, the compiler of the book, the student of Imam Tirmidhi who's compiling this, says, قال الحافظ. Hafiz is a term that's used for somebody who's memorized more than 100,000 hadith. So Imam Tirmidhi was included among those scholars who had memorized more than 100,000 hadith. The first chapter, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي خَلْقِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The chapter that has come on the characteristics, the outward physical characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this book starts with the first bab, and this book is actually divided into 55 abwab, 55 chapters. And in all, I think there's 397 or 398 hadith which will be covered, all describing the characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first one is called Babu Ma Jaa Fi Khalqi Rasulullah, a chapter that has come on the outward characteristics of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this word khalq, there's another word khuluq. Khalq means outward characteristics, the external appearance. And khuluq, which has the same three letters but is vowel differently, means the inward characteristics, the nature of a person. So when you read in the ayah of the Holy Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, verily you are on a enormous nature, that ayah is describing the internal characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ. But this is khalq, the external physical characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ. So Imam Tirmidhi labels his first chapter, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي خَلْقِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ أَنَسْ بِنْ مَالِكْ أَنَّهُ سَمِيَهُ يَقُولُ. This hadith is related, the first hadith is related by Anas ibn Malik. So, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَ بِالْتَوِيلِ الْبَائِلِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was neither very tall, nor was he short. وَلَا بِالْأَبْيَدِ الْأَمْحَقِ. And his skin was not severely white. وَلَا بِالْآدَمِ. And it was not severely dark. Meaning the skin of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was somewhere in between. It was tan. وَلَا بِالْجَأَدِ الْقَطَدِ وَلَا بِالْسَرْطِ. The Prophet ﷺ's hair was neither curly, with very, very, very tight curls, nor was it completely straight. بَعْثَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet ﷺ, or actually gave him the risala, becoming a messenger at the age of 40. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ. Then the Prophet ﷺ lived in Mecca for 10 years. وَبِالْمَدِينَةِ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ. And then in Medina for 10 years. وَتَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his soul at 60 years of age. وَلَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ إِشْرُونَ شَعْرَةً بَيْضَاءَ. And at the time when the Prophet ﷺ was actually raised, there were less than 20 white hairs in his beard and in his hair. Now, the beginning of this hadith is actually very interesting, because this hadith is actually narrated by Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you see a characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being related by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that takes a very, very special sort of attention from us. Because this is the person that was the personal servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. From age 10 to age 20, he day in and day out served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can relate to us both what happened inside the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the most peculiar aspects of the daily actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these hadith that you see from Anas have a very, very special weight, radiallahu anhu. Now, what's special about him is that when he was 10 years old, his mother brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, khuwaynuduka. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I am presenting my son as your little servant. أُدْعُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Make a dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. So what did the mother do? She took her 10-year-old son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, this is your little servant. I am giving you my son to be your servant. Make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. قال, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ فِي مَالِهِ. O Allah, bless him in his wealth. وَوَلَدِهِ, and in his offspring. وَأَتَلَّ أَمْرَهُ, and extend his life. وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ, and forgive his sins. So the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and presents this child before him. And then she says, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make a dua for him. The Prophet ﷺ prays for four things. Allahumma, O Allah, barik fi malihi wa waladihi wa atalla amrahu wa waghfir dhanbahu. Four things. O Allah, bless his wealth and his offspring and extend his life and forgive his sins. Anas radiallahu anhu, later recalling this particular dua, said that I saw three portions of this dua come true within my own life. I saw three portions of the blessed dua of the Prophet ﷺ come true within my life. The first one, Barik fi malihi. Anas says, radiallahu anhu, that the result of this dua was that my gardens gave fruit twice a year, but the gardens of the average Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ only gave fruit once. The gardens that he used to have in his possession, they used to give off their fruit two times a year. Meaning there was this increased blessing in his garden, but the gardens of the average person of Medina only gave their fruit once. Then he says the second part of the dua, Allahumma barik fi malihi wa waladihi. He says that within my own lifetime, I saw 90 of my children and grandchildren. 90. Within his own lifetime, he saw 90 children and grandchildren of his own offspring with his own eyes. That was the blessing of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ in his wealth. Then he said about the third part, وَأَتَلَّ أَمْرُهُ. The Prophet ﷺ prayed, O Allah, expand the life of Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, I was the last of the Sahaba to die in Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me alive so long that I used to sit and think, when am I going to die? I am so old. I don't die. Everybody's dying around me. All of the Sahaba are gone. What's wrong with me? Why don't I die? That was the barakah of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ for his age. And then he used to recall the fourth dua that the Prophet ﷺ made, and tears would come down his eyes, and he would say, I hope, inshallah, that I will see the result of the fourth dua. Meaning, وَغْفِرْ ذَنْبَهُ. O Allah, forgive his sins. Meaning, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, with the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, forgive the sins of Anas radiallahu anhu. So this is the blessings of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Now within this story itself, we haven't even touched the hadith. Within this story itself, there are so many amazing lessons. The first, look at the mother of Anas radiallahu anha. How amazing! She takes her 10-year-old child and she says, this son is for you, Ya Rasulullah, make him your servant. Now you find a mother today with a 10-year-old son, and what does she say? Inshallah, he'll be a doctor. Inshallah, he'll be an engineer. Inshallah, he'll also do hifz, but inshallah, he will be a doctor. Those were the people that surrounded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sacrificing even their own children for the pleasure of the Prophet alayhi salam. And what's the result? The result is that the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua for Anas radiallahu anhu from his heart. Now understand that there are two types of dua. One type of dua is that you go and ask somebody to make a dua for you. I come to you and I say, oh my brother, make a dua for me. It has a very special place in the deen. But another dua is that you please someone so much that from their heart, that the dua exits naturally. For example, you go to your mother and you serve her. You don't need to make a dua. You don't need to tell your mom, oh, make a dua for me. She's so happy with you, but she just is making dua. Oh Allah, what a great son I have. Oh Allah, bless my son. Oh Allah, make my son closer to you. Oh Allah, give him anything that he wants. This is a natural dua that exits from the heart of the mother when the son pleases her. This was a natural dua that exited from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why it was so powerful. Because he was so impressed with the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu giving her son as the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then beyond that, not only were these dua accepted, and inshallah, not only will the fourth dua be accepted, but then look at the result. over and over and over again, we will read hadith after hadith after hadith from Anas radiallahu anhu. Qala Abin Anas ibn Malik. Samia Abin Anas ibn Malik. Over and over and over again. So he becomes an integral part of the deen. He becomes somebody who we are dependent on, and the generations of people that decide to walk in the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and emulate him on a daily basis, we become dependent on such a person. This is the result of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. So what does Anas say? An Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu sami'ahu yaqul. From Anas ibn Malik that he heard about the Prophet ﷺ. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بالطويل الباين ولا بالقصير. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was neither too tall nor was he too short. He was just perfect. رَبْعَةً. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in between. And it comes in other narrations that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to stand in any crowd, he would always be slightly taller than the tallest. He wouldn't look taller, but due to his magnanimous state, he would be slightly taller than anybody else present. So this is a special characteristic of the height of the Prophet ﷺ, that he was just a bit taller than average, but when he stood in anybody's presence, even if it was the tallest of the tall, he still seemed just a bit taller than that person. So this is just one of the amazing characteristics of the height of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَا بِالْأَبْيَدِ الْأَمْحَقِ. The Prophet ﷺ's skin, what was his skin like? It was not too white. It was not so pale that it didn't have color. وَلَا بِالْآدَمْ. But at the same time, it was not so dark. In fact, it was just this perfect kind of tan. And not only was the skin of the Prophet ﷺ this perfect kind of tan, but then you have to add to it the nur that emanated from his body. And that added a special color to the skin of the Prophet ﷺ. And so he had this beautifully balanced color of skin. وَلَا بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطَةِ وَلَا بِالصَّبَتِ. The Prophet ﷺ's hair. How was the hair of the Prophet ﷺ? It was not too curly, not those tight kind of curls that somebody would call it a very, very curly type of hair. Neither was it completely straight, but it was actually slightly wavy. And so this was the hair of the Prophet ﷺ. بَعْثَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed the risala upon the Prophet ﷺ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً at the age of 40. فَأَقَامَ بِمَكَّةَ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ. So the Prophet ﷺ lived in Mecca for 10 years. وبالمدينة عشر سنين. And in Medina for 10 years. وتوفاه الله تعالى على رأس 60 سنة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul at the age of 60. وليس في رأسه ولحيته 20 شعرة بيضاء. And there were not 20 white hairs in his beard and his head. Now there's a couple important points about this hadith. First of all is that the hadith says that the Prophet ﷺ was bestowed prophethood at age 40. That's agreed upon. Then the hadith continues and says that he lived in Mecca for 10 years. That's not agreed upon. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ lived in Mecca for 13 years. Now, the discussion among the ulama is, well, why does this hadith say 10? And the answer is twofold. Either this particular narrator is eliminating the 3 years in which the Prophet ﷺ was not openly doing da'wah. So the Prophet ﷺ was actually given risala at the age of 40, but he was actually asked to do da'wah at the age of 43. There were 3 years of fatrah when the Prophet ﷺ didn't receive any wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So according to some explicators, those 3 years are eliminated by this particular explanation. Other explicators say that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was commonplace to round numbers to the nearest whole. So 13 years actually equals 10 because that's the nearest whole. And 63 years, which was the actual length of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, actually equals 60 in this hadith because they've rounded down to the nearest whole. I think that's probably a better explication. Now you'll also find various hadith that establish that the Prophet ﷺ lived up to 65. Those hadith that establish 65 have to also be brought in line with the age of 63 because the strongest hadith supports 63. So what 65 means is that the Prophet ﷺ lived till 63, and if you include the year of his birth and the year of his death, then that actually adds 2 more years, and so the Prophet ﷺ, then some narrators narrate 65. But in actuality, the Prophet ﷺ got risala at age 40. 3 years later, he received the command to do open da'wah. stayed in Mecca 10 more, which makes 13 in Mecca, and then spent 10 years in Medina, and was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 63. And in the hair of the Prophet and in his beard, there were less than 20 white hairs. Now this is such a beautiful observation. Because first it shows the depth of the observation of the Sahaba. They had to sit there and count. They openly sat there and counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, less than 20. They counted the white hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the extent of their perception and recollection and saving and preservation of the sifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other thing is that it hints at the length of the hair and the beard. The length of the hair and the beard will be discussed in detail later, but the Prophet's hair was long and his beard was long. Because that's the only way that you can count how many hairs. If it's a close beard or close hair or there's no hair, you can't count the number of gray. So it was easy to count. And this is a hint, and we'll cover in more detail later, that the length of the beard of the Prophet, which came all the way to his chest, and the length of the hair of the Prophet, which often was at his earlobes or even lower. So that's the first hadith. Hadith number two. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an qal kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rabbatan laysa bit tawil wala bil qasir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rab'ah of medium height. Laysa bit tawil wala bil qasir. He was neither too tall nor was he short. Hasan al jismi. He was the most handsome of bodies. وَكَانَ شَعْرُهُ لَيْسَ بِجَعْدٍ وَلَا سَبْتٍ. And his hair was neither very, very curly, nor was it completely straight. أَثْمَرَ اللَّوْنِ. His skin was tan. إِذَا مَشَى يَتَكَفَّأُ. When he used to walk, he used to lift his legs with force and walk with definiteness and direction. This hadith contains many of the descriptions that we've covered previously. The only new thing in this particular hadith, again, the beauty of his skin. It was just this perfect tan. And if you looked at it, it had this nur emanating from it. So it had this special color which no skin can ever match. No skin can match the skin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its beauty. The other thing that's added in this particular hadith, إِذَا مَشَى يَتَكَفَّأُ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, يَتَكَفَّأُ. Now according to the ulama, the word يَتَكَفَّأُ can have several meanings. The first is that it means to lift the leg with force. To lift up the leg with force. The second is that it can mean to lean forward while walking. And the third is that it means to walk fast. And in actuality, the walking of the Prophet ﷺ contained all three of these characteristics. When the Prophet ﷺ walked, he walked with speed. He picked up his feet with energy, with direction, and he picked them up with force. Why? Because when the Prophet ﷺ walks, when he moves in any direction, with any degree of energy, the Prophet ﷺ in actuality is doing so as a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's walking conscious of Allah. When he goes somewhere, he goes because there's benefit there. When he does something, he does it because that's what the most perfect of servants does. He's not window shopping. He's not wandering through a mall and trying to kill time. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has the job of salvation of humanity. And this is why he walks. Conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purpose, determination, energetic. Not walking and just dragging his feet. With energy, force, vigor, excitement. Ready to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the walking of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith number three. An Abi Ishaq قال سمعت براء ابن عازب يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا بعيد ما بين المنكبين عظيم الجمة إلى شحمة أذنيه. And the hadith continues inshallah. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was of medium height. بعيد ما بين المنكبين. New description. The Prophet was, his shoulders were wide. There was distance between his shoulders, which also implies that he had a wide chest as well. عظيم عَظِيمَ الْجُمَّةِ إِلَى شَحْمَةِ أُذُنَيْهِ. His hair was dense. And he had jumma, long hair, إِلَى شَحْمَةِ أُذُنَيْهِ, to the earlobes. The Prophet's hair was long such that the hair that was from the front of his head came all the way down to his earlobes. The Prophet was wearing a red outfit on this particular occasion. Now this outfit actually was a waistcloth and a shawl. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ. Such a beautiful description. I never saw anybody or anything more beautiful than him. Now, the description of the Prophet actually wearing red is actually very debated among the ulama. Because in other ahadith, the Prophet has actually told us not to wear red. And so there's a discussion among the ulama as to whether red is allowed or not. Some of the ulama say, based on this particular hadith, that red is okay. But the problem is that based on other hadith qawli, other hadith in which the Prophet actually openly says don't wear red, the ulama of the Ahnaf, the Hanafi, the ulama which are Hanafi, actually do not permit the wearing of red. And their explanation for this hadith is that there was redness in the cloth of the Prophet, but it was not a complete red. Perhaps there was other colors mixed in, perhaps there was another shape or designs on the cloth which might have been red, but this was not pure red because the Prophet has prohibited wearing a pure red openly in hadith. Then the narrator actually says, as his final statement of this particular hadith, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَحْسَنُ مِنْهُ, that I have never seen anything more beautiful than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the beauty of this phrase, subhanAllah, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا, any single thing. This means that anything that this particular companion had seen in his life, any person, anything, the moon, the sky, the clouds, the sun, everything that he had ever seen. And when he compared it to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet's beauty outweighed. So it's just a beautiful way of wording how he compared the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. Hadith number 4, and Bara' ibn Azib qal, ma ra'aytu min zi lummatin, fi hullatin hamra, ahsana min Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lahu sha'arun yadribu man kadayh, بعيد ما بين المنكبين لم يكن بالقصير ولا بالطويل. The narrator says, this particular companion says, I have not seen from somebody who had long hair, the Prophet had long hair, wearing a red outfit, أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I've never seen anybody more beautiful than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had hair which touched his shoulders. And this was the longest that you ever find a narration of the hair of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ's hair used to vary. Obviously, because hair is cut and hair can be shaved for hajj, etc., the length of the hair of the Prophet ﷺ always varies. But there are some principles about hair which are important from the sunnah. The first is that all the hair should be equal in length. One time a child was brought before the Prophet ﷺ and he had a certain portion of his hair shaved and the Prophet ﷺ didn't like it. And he asked why the particular father had let his child, or why his child had done that. So it's sunnah to have all of the hairs of one's head in equal length. Now that length can then vary. If it's short, if it's been shaved, obviously it'll be short. But the Prophet ﷺ liked to keep his hair to his earlobes and often to his shoulders, but never longer. The other important thing which pertains to hair is that there should be a difference between men and women. Not only in hair, but in general. The Prophet ﷺ placed a strong emphasis on men not imitating women, and women not imitating men. So this is why ulama say that the hair of the woman, the hair of the man should not be longer than the shoulders, and the hair of the woman should actually extend beyond the shoulders. Because this is a way in which men and women can differentiate themselves from one another. So the hair of the women during the time of the Prophet ﷺ was longer than the shoulders, and the hair of the men was never longer than the shoulders. So this, you know, sometimes people hear these things and they laugh. They say, you know, some adam will say, well, a woman shouldn't cut her hair too short. And people will laugh and they'll say, well, where does that come from? And it doesn't come from any particular opinion of that scholar, but what it's coming from is his understanding and examination of the Sunnah. And, you know, if you put these two things together, number one, the hair of the Prophet, and number two, the Prophet was very careful about men not imitating women and women not imitating men. In fact, that's one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. This shows you where these particular rulings or ideas come from. Now, the last thing which this particular narrator adds is that the Prophet was neither short nor tall, and we've covered that in detail in the previous hadith. Next hadith, number 5. An Ali ibn Abi Talib. From Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhuma, qal. لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل ولا بالقصير. The Prophet was neither tall nor was he short. شحن الكفين. The Prophet had thick palms and thick والقدمين and thick soles. And the Prophet had flesh on his palms and flesh on his soles. And this full palm and full soles actually shows, you know, people get this when they work a lot with their hands. They get a thickening of the flesh. And it shows that the Prophet was somebody who, with his own hands, used to make effort. With his own hands, used to do work. And it also shows strength and manhood. The Prophet had a prominent forehead. And he had prominent joints. طويل المسربة. The Prophet had a long, thin line of hair along his chest. إذا مشى يتكفأ تكفؤاً. When the Prophet used to walk, he used to walk كأنما ينحط من سببٍ, as if he was walking or descending from a height. لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله. The Prophet used to descend, when he used to walk, it was as if he was walking down from a height. Meaning he used to walk with speed, he used to walk with force, and he used to walk leaning forward. لَمْ أَرَى قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلُ. I never saw, neither before him nor after him, anything similar to him. So that's another explication or summary of the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. Hadith number 6, عن عني, إِذَا وَصَّفَ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل الممغط. The Prophet ﷺ was not extensively tall. وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ الْمُتَرَدِّدِ. Nor was he short. وَكَانَ رَبْحَةً مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. And the Prophet ﷺ was actually of medium height. لَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْجَعْدِ الْقَطِفِ. The Prophet ﷺ did not have very, very curly hair. وَلَا بِالسَّبَتِ. Nor did he have very straight hair. كَانَ جَعْثًا رَجُمًا. His hair was actually slightly wavy. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْمُطَحَمْ. The Prophet's body was not chubby. وَلَا بِالْمُكَلْثَمْ. Nor was his body round. وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ. But his face had some degree of roundness. Meaning he didn't have a long face, he didn't have a short face, but he had some degree of roundness in his face. أَبْيَدُ. The face was red. He had a white face. Mushrab, the Prophet's face was, it had this white with redness in it. Ad'aju kaffain. Ad'aju al-aynain. The Prophet had jet black eyes. Adhabul ashfar, with long lashes. Jaleelul mushash. The Prophet had prominent joints. Wal-katab, and shoulder, and the space between his shoulders. أَجْرَدُوا ذُو مَسْرَبَ. The Prophet didn't have hair on his body, but he had a long, thin line of hair which extended from his navel up to his chest. شَشْنُ الْكَفَّيْنِ وَالْقَدَمَيْنِ. He had flesh of the soles and the palms and the soles. إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّأَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ فِي سَبَبٍ. When he used to walk, he used to lift his legs with force as if he was descending from a height. وَإِذَا الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ مَعًا. And when the Prophet used to turn, he used to turn together. Meaning, when the Prophet would turn towards someone, let's say somebody wanted his attention, the Prophet wouldn't just turn his head and say, okay, what do you want? He would turn his entire body towards that person and then give them the attention that they deserved. This is why, when you look at the narrations of the Sahaba about how the Prophet ﷺ was attentive towards them, each of them feels that they were the most beloved of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ gave them each individual and personalized attention. He used to turn his head and his whole body towards them and then address them and listen to what they had to say. So this was another characteristic of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is something we should inculcate within our lives. When somebody needs your attention, or somebody comes to speak to you, you should give them the decency of turning towards them completely and focusing your complete attention upon them. إِذَا الْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ مَعَنْ بَيْنَكَ تَفَيْهِ خَاتِمَ النَّبُوَّةِ وَهُوَ خَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Between his shoulders was the mark of the prophethood, which was actually a physical thing, and we'll talk about it in the next chapter. It was a physical flesh on his back, which showed that he was the final prophet, one of the signs of the prophet, and he was the final of prophets. أَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ صَغْرًا. He was the most generous of people. وَأَسْتَقُ النَّاسِ نِحْجَةً. And he was the most truthful of people. وَأَلْيَنُهُمْ حَرِيفَةً. And he was the most lenient of people. وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ أُسْرَةً. And he was the most noble from lineage. مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً حَابَهُ. Whoever saw him on the first occasion respected him. وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ مَعْرِفَةً نَحَبَّهُ. And whoever saw him and interacted with him regularly, fell in love with him. يَكُولُ نَعِيْتُهُ. Anybody, any single person who would describe him would say, لَمْ أَرَى قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْلَهُ مِثْلَهُ. I have never seen either before him or after him similar to him. So this is again another description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it contains various characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and each of these we should make an attempt to inculcate insha'Allah. Now the other thing to note is that anybody who met the Prophet ﷺ fell in love with him. You couldn't avoid it. They fell in love with him, and then they submitted themselves to Allah, and they emulated his every footstep. And this will become more evident in the hadith that are going to come. So we're going to skip hadith number 8 because it's very long, complicated, and actually many of these characteristics have already been described and will be described in the upcoming hadith. I'm sorry, we're going to skip hadith number 7. So hadith number 8, An-Simak ابن حرب قال سمعت جابر بن سمرة يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بليء الفم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had a wide mouth. Now this could mean that it was physically wide, or it could mean because of the eloquence of his tongue, meaning his mouth was wide with eloquence. أشكل العين. He had red lines that came within the whites of his eyes. منحوس العقب. He had low flesh on his heel. قال شعبة قلت لي سماك ما بني الفم. So one of the narrators, شعبة رحمة الله عليه, says, I asked سماك ما بعي الفم. What do we mean by wide mouth? Or what does بعي الفم mean? And he responded, عظيم الفم, meaning a great mouth, which again can mean either physically or in the eloquence of his tongue. مَا أَشْكَلُ الْأَيْنِ. What does it mean to be أَشْكَلُ الْأَيْنِ? قَالَ تَوِيلُ شَكْتُ الْأَيْنِ. So there's a debate among the ulama as to what this actually means. I think the best translation is that he had wide lines of red, very, very thin, delicate lines of red that were present within the white of the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ مَا مَنْهُوسَ الْأَقَبْ. What is aqib? What does it mean to be manhus al aqib? Then the narrator says, qalil al lahm al aqib, having a little bit of flesh on the heel. Next hadith number 9, an Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu an qal, ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi laylatin adhiyan. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a night when there was a full moon. وَعَلَيْهِ هُلَّةٍ حَمْرًا. And he was wearing a red outfit. فَجَعَلْتُ أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى الْقَمَرِ. So I began looking. First I looked at him, then I looked at the moon, then I looked at him, then I looked at the moon. I kept comparing back and forth. أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى الْقَمَرِ. فَلَهُ إِنِّي أَحْسَنُ مِنَ الْقَمَرِ. I looked at the moon, then I looked at him, then I looked at the full moon, then I looked at him, then I looked at the beauty of the full moon, and then I looked at him, and I clearly decided that he is much more beautiful than the moon, the full moon on a clear night. This was the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith number 10. An Abi Ishaq qal, Sa'ala rajulun al-bara'a, an Ibn Abid. Number 10. Sir? We're on number 10 now. You have 11 now? What do you have there? Where are you? That's 10. So we're doing that right now. We're saying we're doing it right now. This is 9 here. Yeah. If this is correct. There's two versions. Well, we'll just keep going.
Okay,
we'll fix that. Okay, this may be actually one of the versions of the text has a different numbering. So inshallah, we'll just for the time being, I'll go by my numbers and I'll check it in the end, inshallah. So this is hadith number 10. And Abi Ishaq qala, Sa'ala rajulun al-bara'a an Adid. Al-bara'a ibn Adid. So somebody asked, a man asked Bara'a ibn Adid radiallahu an. أكان وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل السيف. Now this person comes to Bara رضي الله عنه. He says, was the face of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم like a sword? Now in his eyes, the most beautiful thing was a sword. In this particular man's eyes. And in fact, in the Arabian continent at this time, the sword was a very beautiful thing. This was a piece of pride. It represented their manhood. And they used to shine it and clean it regularly. And so the sword in his eyes was the most beautiful of all things. And he says, well, was the face of the Prophet like my sword? Like a sword? So, قال لا. So, Bara'a says, no. بَلْ مِثْلُ الْقَمَرْ. No. Instead, it was like the full moon. Actually, in reality, when you look at the commentary of this particular hadith, the Prophet's face was not like the moon. In fact, it was more than 1,000 moons. But the point is that in the Arabian subcontinent at this time, the moon was the most beautiful thing. And so that's the thing that the face of the Prophet ﷺ gets compared to. But in reality, if you put 1,000 moons up and you compare the face of the Prophet ﷺ, the face of the Prophet ﷺ would still be more beautiful. Now, one thing that is so incredible about the moon is that the one thing that's so incredible about this particular comparison is that if you think about the moon, where does the moon get its light from? The moon gets its light from the sun. Right? The moon doesn't have light on its own. Independently, it doesn't have light, but it gets its light from the sun. This is exactly the scenario of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beauty on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not because he's a man. He is a man. He is creation. But it's because of the nur that he's getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as the moon's beauty is not actually in and of itself, but it's a reflection of the sun, the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ is a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what Allah bestowed upon him. So we don't study the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ to worship the Prophet, na'udhu billah, but because it's a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation of the most beloved of all of men. So you have to keep that in mind, and I think just the beauty of the comparison of the moon really, really highlights this. Okay, so that's hadith number 10 according to my version, and we'll stop there, inshallah, if anybody has any questions, they can write them and send them up, and inshallah, we can discuss them. So we'll also take a couple minute break, anybody who has questions can write them, and then after that, we'll close.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We left off at hadith number 11. Some of you may have another version where this, I think, might be, it's one off. So it's either hadith 10 or hadith 12. So hadith number 11, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, qal, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abyad, ka'annama siha min fiddatin, rajil al-shar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was white, meaning his skin was white. And we talked about this. Actually, his skin was sort of on the tan side, and there was a special nur which emanated from him, obviously, and we discussed that in the previous ahadith. كَأَنَّمَا سِيغَ مِنْ فِدَّةٍ. As if the Prophet ﷺ was formed from silver. Now, silver has a special kind of shine, and so this narration, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is referring to the shine of the Prophet ﷺ, the glow, let's say it that way. The glow that came from the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rajul al-Shar, the Prophet's hair was wavy. We've discussed this previously. Hadith number 12. An Jabir ibn Abdullah anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, urida alayya al-anbiya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of the prophets were presented before me. فَإِذَا مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ. Now this presentation of the prophets before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could either be in a dream, and in fact Imam Bukhari says that this occurred in a dream. And at the same time, this could have occurred on the night of the Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually ascended the heavens and led all the prophets in prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْأَنْبِيَاء. All the prophets were presented before me. فَإِذَا مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ دَرْبٌ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. So Musa alayhi salam, he was someone with a light body. كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالٍ شَنُوءًا. It was as if he was he had a body similar to the people of the tribe of Shanu'a. Shanu'a was a tribe near Mecca, or actually, I think it's near Medina. And this particular tribe, they were known for their lean bodies. You can say it that way. وَرَأَيْتُ عِيسَىٰ ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues, and he says that I saw Isa alayhi salam. فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا أُرْوَىٰ ابْنَ مَسْعُودَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he was very similar to in appearance to Urwa ibn Mas'ud. Now this Urwa ibn Mas'ud was actually the person who was sent as a representative by the Quraysh during Hudaybiyah. And so when the Prophet ﷺ was going to make the Umrah, we know that the Prophet ﷺ was stopped, right? This is what, the sixth or seventh year after the Hijrah. And when he was stopped, the Muslims sent a representative and the Kuffar sent their representative. And actually, at this point, Urwa ibn Mas'ud had not yet accepted Islam when at Hudaybiyah. But in the ninth of after the Hijrah, he accepted Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that Isa alayhi salam had a similar appearance to Urwa ibn Mas'ud. وَرَأَيْتُ Ibrahim alayhi salam. And I saw Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا صَاحِبُكُمْ يَعْنِي نَفْسَهُ الْكَرِيمُ. So the Prophet ﷺ says, and I saw Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was very similar in appearance to the Prophet ﷺ himself. وَرَأَيْتُ جِبْرِيلُ. And I also saw Jibreel alayhi salam. فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا دِحْيَا. So the Prophet ﷺ says that I also saw Jibreel alayhi salam, and he looked very similar in appearance to Dihya. Now, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentions this is because Jibreel alayhi salam, when he used to come to the Prophet ﷺ to deliver messages, he actually used to come in human form, or resembling a human. We can say it that, perhaps is a better way to say it. He would come resembling a human. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam had his original form, which was that of an angel. And the Prophet alayhi salam saw Jibreel alayhi salam about two or three times in his original form. One time, when the Prophet alayhi salam, after the Fatra, when the Prophet alayhi salam was told to continue and to give the da'wah, at that time he saw angels of Jibreel across the sky with his wings open in his original form. And another time the Prophet ﷺ actually asked Jibreel alayhi salam, can you show me yourself in your original form? And Jibreel alayhi salam accepted and showed himself in his original form. So those are the two times that the Prophet ﷺ definitely saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form. And there's a debate as to when the first wahi was revealed, whether Jibreel alayhi salam was in his original form or not. So, but there's two times that are sure. On this particular occasion, the Prophet is saying that he saw Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam looked like one of the companions named Dihya, actually Dihya al-Kalbi. Now, whenever Jibreel alayhi salam would come, he would come in this human form. He would look as if he was human. And he often, most often came in the form of this particular companion. So he took on the form, the external form of Dihya. And we also find this in other ahadith too, the famous hadith about what's Islam, what's Iman, what's Ihsan, that person who came and he had, you know, jet black hair and he had white clothes and he looked as if he hadn't traveled, he looked very fresh. The Prophet ﷺ in the end of that hadith says that was Jibreel alayhi salam, right? And he came to teach you your religion. So that's another example where Jibreel alayhi salam came in a human form. Hadith number 13. And Sa'id al-Khudri qal, سمعت أبا Tufail. Abu Tufail was the last of the Sahaba to die, out of all of the Sahaba. And in fact, he died in 110 after Hijrah. Yaqul. So what does he say? رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا بَقِيَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرُضِ أَحَدٌ رَآهُ غَيْرِي. He says that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا بَقِيَ عَلَى وَجْهُ الْأَرُضِ, and there remains no one on the face of the earth who saw him other than me. قُلْتُ سِفْحُ لِي. So I said to him, describe him for me. قَالْ كَانَ أَبْيَضْ. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, skin was white. مَلِيحًا, with a red hue. Muqassadan, with a medium body, of medium build. The Prophet ﷺ had white skin with a reddish tannish hue with a medium build. Now, this hadith, the important thing here is that notice the condition that this particular companion is placing on his description. وَمَا بَقِيَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ, and there remains no one on the earth that has seen him except for me. Meaning he was the last of all of the companions to pass away, and he was the last to have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that's why he's describing in this particular hadith for the person who's asking the question. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qal, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam aflaj al faniyatain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, He had spread teeth. Afnaj means spread out, and the faniya are the front teeth, meaning his front teeth were evident. إذا تكلم رؤياك النور يخرج من بين ثناياه. When he used to speak, it seemed as if nur was exiting from between his teeth. So the Prophet had these slight spaces between his teeth. Very, very slight, fine spaces. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to speak, it was as if nur was emanating from those spaces. There was this shine that every time he opened his mouth, this nur would emanate from those spaces.